Before proceeding with Steve Tezbova Boisai, I want to share with you a story I heard yesterday, Hanukkah related, if I may. A story I heard yesterday, very interesting story. It was after Kristallnacht, famously the night of we all know Kristallnacht in Germany, where so many shuls, and many people realized then that it's time to move. It was the last few years before that was getting quiet. For going from bad to worse, because Kristallnacht was for many people the time they've got to emigrate. It's hard. We have to remember that it wasn't easy to leave Germany. It was very hard to actually, you know, get a visa to get out of there. But some did. And the short story that I'm going to share with you now was a family that got their permission to leave Germany. They got the visas and they managed to pack their cases, their few cases, and leave it on the train. They were going through Holland. I think they were planning to go from Germany to neighboring Holland, and from there to move on to America. So the story that I heard yesterday goes that I don't know about their papers, if the papers were kosher, the papers were not kosher, but either way, it didn't make so much of a difference, because if the Gestapo on the train, they felt like it, even if the papers were all right, they would still arrest the Yidden. It didn't make so much of a difference if the papers were fine or not. The Maaseh was Hanukkah night, and that particular family that was just leaving Germany, just nearing the borders, they were, you know the story. There was, so please go ahead and share the story. They said, okay, we've got to light Hanukkah candles. We've got to light Hanukkah candles because it's Hanukkah. And all of a sudden, okay, it's really dangerous. You know, you're surrounded by Germany. You know, we're leaving Germany now. You want to put Hanukkah lights. No. We're putting Hanukkah. We're going to light Hanukkah candles. It's a mitzvah. The Rabbanan, we're going to do it. And on the train, as they were on the journey on the train, they decided to put, is that so far true? Yeah? They put some, no, exactly? What was it? Oh, I see. So they decided to put, I don't know how many nights, you know how many candles it was? They lit the candles as, this is machlokes really, if you light in the train or not, the Maharsham says you do, many disagree, but the Maharsham, it seems like that family paskin like the Maharsham, that you do light Hanukkah candles on a train. It's a discussion if you do or you don't, because really it's meant to be in your house. So a train is not really much of your house. But anyway, they did. It was a danger. Of course, it was really pikuach nefesh. I don't think anybody would have really said you have to lie under these circumstances. This is, but they decided they're going to. And shortly after the lights of the entire train went off, there was some sort of what's called a power cut. Something. Everything went pitch dark. Power cut. Everything went pitch dark. And here was. The German, the Gestapo, they were going from person to person checking their papers, and it was going pitch dark. And then as they were like in the darkness, in Makas Choshech, they suddenly saw there was that, you know, the Yidden who had this Hanukkah, they went up to him, oh, you're Jews, what are you doing? The Hanukkah Council, of course, they hated any Yidden for certainly fulfilling the mitzvahs. There was nothing worse than that. But they said, can we grab some of your candles? And he said, yeah, okay, you know, they have no choice. So they took those candles, that's what served them to check the people on them. But when it came to them, they said, you know, you gave us the lights, you gave us the candles, so fine. So, you know, we're not going to check your papers, it's fine, just get out of here and go away. And that saved their lives, because from there they moved to cross the borders, and they managed to go to Holland. From there they moved on to America, which ultimately, you know, it's Bonim of Nei Bonim, big families from there, but had they not lit the menorah, who knows what the Gestapo at that point would have done with them? Chances are very likely that they wouldn't have made it through the borders, and they would have had to return towards what, the way that ultimately would have led towards Auschwitz. So the point being, the message of the story is that if a person sometimes there's no Kabbalah that a person never loses from doing mitzvahs. And all the most mitzvah mafsid. Person, when you do a mitzvah, you do it properly from Shemaim. You're the person that never lose out from it. Rabbi Yisai, Shulchan Aruch tonight is going to address the question about the falling talus. So the talus falls down mid davening. Have you experienced that? Is it really? Right, that's it, yeah. I don't know why, but people are very, very. It's an embarrassing situation. The talus falls down. People feel very self conscious. Although there's nothing really so embarrassing about it, but it happens. Talasim can, especially new talasim, don't know if you experience new talasim, they tend to be very, very slippery. Yeah. Yeah, that's one option. There's many tricks of the trade. But it's okay, so now the question is going to be an interesting question. What happens if a talus falls down mid Davening, do you make a new bracha? Yes or no? It's not such an easy question. It's not such a common question. And tonight we're going to be addressing, but the shayla, the question, the halacha over that is not so straightforward at all. And we're going to have an unexpected machloikas here. Sefer Tezvav, page 30 in our edition, says as follows: Im noflo talisoy, if the talis falls down. Stephen, with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Good, good. Im noflo talisoy, if the talis falls down. Shaloi b'mischavim, without intention. Now, why is it important that it's without intention? Because we discussed yesterday that when you take the talis off, exactly, it's all depending on your intention. If you've got das to return it, you don't make a bracha, you don't have das. So we are talking about over here a clear-cut case, no intention to drop the talis. It fell by accident.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
It's the same, well, not quite the same, but if you took your tefillin off, whatever.
Very good. Stephen, spot on. Spot on. That's exactly the discussion here. 100% spot on. On target, Stephen. You're on the case tonight. No, he says, surely that should be comparable to tefillin. What happens if somebody takes the tefillin off? So we will see, because there's much to be discussed over here. Shalom is choizer misatef, and he puts the talis back on. Tzorich leborich, you make a new bracha. Rabbi Yisai, Shulchan Aruch says, black. Right, without any discussion, it says, you make another bracha. Based on what? Why do you have to make a new bracha? Why? Based on what we said yesterday?
Interruption.
Has chadas. You never planned to take it off. We discussed yesterday, everything is about the taking off aspect. When you took it off, when it fell off, you had no intention to return it because you had no presence of mind. So if talis falls off, shloim mischaven, based on what we learned yesterday, the halacha should be, you make a new bracha. Verush enough lo kula, that's if the entire talis fell down. Avolim lo enough lo kula, but if the entire talis didn't come off, Avol bish enough lo kula, although maybe the majority of the talis came off, you do not make a bracha. So sometimes what happens is that talis comes back, sort of, like most of it comes up, and you still manage to like, We are not talking about if you're catching it on your back with your hands. That's not called talis being on you. That's called talis being in your hands. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the talis slightly, like some of it is still here, some of it is not here. You're still managing to catch some of it. Then you would make a new bracha. But if the talis comes off completely, or if you're catching it in your hands or anything like that, it's off your back, it's off your body, then the halacha is, you will make a new bracha. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, let's see what Mishnah Berurah's approach in this is. Siv Kotn Lamed Tes. Shaloi b'mischaven. Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah says a question. Afeilu leman, lemad paskinu de beis yitalis, ol das lachziroi, ein tzorech levorech. Mishnah Berurah says, why is it any different to the case that a person who took off the talis with intention to return it? What's the halacha if somebody takes off the talis and he plans to return it? What's the halacha then? Do you make a new bracha, yes or no?
No,
you don't. So why is it different here? Yeah, so the answer is, this is much worse in this scenario. Because he came off below das. He came off without das, without intention, without awareness. And the mitzvah has
expired.
That's the word. Yeah, it's gone. And even if the talis cotton, I was waiting for that question, what happens if the talis cotton is still on? It makes no difference. Even if the talis cotton is still on, the tzitzis is still, you're still wearing the tzitzis, obviously it doesn't make a difference. The talis has come off, by mistake you make another bracha. First white line, Mishnah Berurah, cotton mem, tzorech levorech, afilu im nov shem yad, even if you put it immediately you put it back on, it won't help. If what happens if the talus falls off middle Shmoneh Esrei, what do you do? What happens if the talus falls off middle Shmoneh Esrei? Baruch Atah Hashem Mogen Avraham, and you do like a proper gezunta bowing down properly, and then as you whomp, talus goes off. Now what are you going to do? You can't leave it on the floor, so you pick it up. You're picking the talus up.
So you say that if you need to say a bracha, then you say
after you finish. After Shmoneh Esrei, yeah? What happens? After Shmoneh Esrei, when you put it back on?
You're in Shmoneh Esrei, in the middle.
Middle of Shmoneh Esrei.
You wouldn't pick it up.
You don't pick it up.
No.
But if you noticed, you happen to have noticed, okay? You just happen to have noticed.
Not on your level,
right? You haven't noticed. Yeah. Okay, so Rabbi Isai says Mishnah Berurah, "V'im nofal b'emenu b'em tefilas yudches." If the talis comes off in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, "V'echziru acherim alav," and somebody else put the talis on you, middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you've got kein neighbor. You're up to Mogen Avraham. He's finished already. So he saw the talis on the floor. What does he do? He says, "Oh wow!" So he could either ignore it, pretend he doesn't know what's flying. Okay, I think a lot of people do that in some shuls. But here, in this particular case, he said, "No, no, no! I can see talis." What did he do? He's very kind. He puts the talis on you. So when you finish Shmoneh Esrei, you feel the tzitzis. And you make a new bracha. So what does that teach us about Shmoneh Esrei behavior? If it comes off, leave it on the floor, and you're hoping for your neighbor to have enough seichel to put it back on, unless he's davening himself.
What happens, Rabbi?
Yeah?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What happens if it's come off or half come off? I've seen it actually tonight, so this morning in shul, and the guy who was coming up for laning, the talis was practically coming off, and somebody just put it back on him. So if somebody puts it back on, but you're not putting it back on, what do you still say a bracha?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it depends how much it came off. So very good, very good. So the answer to your interesting point is so what happened this morning? Look at that. I found it very inspiring, Stephen, that the question that the halachas we're discussing happened this morning in shul. So so somebody, look, based on what we're learning now, what's the halacha? Somebody gets called up. I don't know why he wasn't wearing talis in his own wrap, but he obviously wasn't.
He was wearing talis.
Pardon?
He was wearing the talis. But it just started coming off.
He was wearing the talis. It started coming off. He ran off to the Sefer Torah, and as he was going, it came off, and somebody else put it on him. Does he make a new bracha? Somebody else putting it on him, or does he not make a new bracha? What will be the correct way of dealing with this? He makes a new bracha? I think that it depends. The question that needs to be discussed is, it depends how much actually came off. Because we learned that if it didn't, if it wasn't really coming off completely, if only part of it, sometimes, you know, so it depends how much came off. You're right, if it like basically came off and somebody else picked it up, sure, he makes a new bracha, even if somebody else put it on him. What? All he needs to do is mashpesh betzitzis.
Why is this falling off case any worse than the case where he goes to Lou and he has dust lux? Why is this?
The answer to you, it's interesting. The answer, the Mishnah Berurah addresses this, and he says, "Bezeh gora yoyse," this is worse, and the word of the Mishnah Berurah is, "Donoflo beloy das," it came off without intention, "the oz doloy mitzvasa," and what was the word that he chose?
Expired.
And the mitzvah is expired. The mitzvah is gone. "Noflo beloy das," this is worse than a scenario of putting it intentionally. Because you lost the mitzvah by it falling down.
Why is that?
So it sounds like it sounds like.
I mean, you don't say it's about other mitzvahs when, you know, a pitten falls off, or when the menorah falls down, or when the matzah box falls on the floor and the matzah breaks. And when there's a mishap with another mitzvah, we don't say.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the same question you, because I would phrase the question a bit different. I'd phrase that normally and I think we mentioned it last night, the night before, that normally you limit your mitzvah by the time you start the mitzvah and you make the bracha. That's how far why do you have das? Why does a das, when you take it off, make any difference? How can you save the mitzvah? How can you save the bracha by having intention with taking it off?
And surely when you wear the bracha on your talus, you have it.
Exactly.
It's going to fall off, you're just going to put it back on again. It's not like you're ready. The limitation of the bracha that you make on it is that in the event that it doesn't fall off.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't fall off, my bracket's calm, but if it falls off, then I start
getting. Yeah. So I agree with your question very much, and I don't have a satisfactory answer. But what I can share with you is a very interesting psak of Shlomo Zalman Oibach. I had it in my mind, and I double-checked just before the shiur, just to make sure I'm not misquoting it because of the Chiddush Shaboy. And Reb Shlomo Zalman does say it, black and white, he does say it, and it's quoted widely. And the Reb Shlomo Zalman says the following, says that if somebody has a talus falling off in the middle of davening, if talus comes off, you put it back on, and you do not make a bracha. Now why is this a chiddush? Again, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, somebody's davening, talus falls off, you put it back on without making another bracha. It's a complete, straight-on collision with the words of Shulchan Aruch. It's exactly what Shulchan Aruch says. Exactly the case Shulchan Aruch is talking about. But Shulchan Aruch just says, you do make a new bracha, and in that case, Shlomo Zalman says, you don't make another bracha. It's an absolute machlok, Shulchan Aruch with Shlomo Zalman, which is quite uncommon, because normally we don't find contemporary posking disagreeing with the words of Shulchan Aruch, but that's clearly what's happening over here. Yeah, so I would imagine the background of the psak of Shlomo Zalman is in line with what you're asking. It's probably something. It doesn't explain it. There's no explanation there. So what do we do at Ochel Maisa? Yeah, what do you say?
So what do we do? I don't know what to say. We've got over here a Shulchan Aruch.
We've got a Mishnebura. That Mishnebura goes with the words of the Mishnebura. It doesn't seem to be. He's not disagreeing with the words of Shulchan Aruch. I mean, he's going. Mishnebura is going. Mishnebura is going with the Shulchan Aruch. And then we've got Shlomo Zalman, which is why they quote it. Who paskins against that? We can understand perhaps Shlomo Zalman's approach, but it's clear against the. I don't know what we do. We've got Machlokas, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnebura on one side, and Shlomo Zalman on the other side.
Rabbi.
So therefore, you're saying that therefore there's an argument to say that. Perhaps. Steve, what do you want to say?
Well, if we go by the first, what the Shulchan Aruch paskens, if your talus came off, you say the bracha again.
Yeah.
Do you have to wrap it round again?
Yeah.
Or you just say that wrapping round?
Yeah, yeah, you should wrap it, you should do again an ituf, yeah. You should do an ituf again, yeah? You should wrap, yeah, you should. It's not ma'akev if you don't, it's not the end of the world if you don't. So if a person fails to do it, he's still doing the right thing, but ideally one should do that. So we've got about, I don't know. The deal sure, no, he doesn't bring up Shlomo Zalman. He doesn't bring up Shlomo Zalman, which I also was a bit surprised. He doesn't bring this back up Shlomo Zalman, that he's not quoting. I don't think so. It doesn't look like it because it's like an explicit halach and everything. I don't know.
What
do we do? In such a case. I don't feel a person can go wrong by sticking to the word Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah, I don't think a person can do something wrong. Reb Shlomo Zalman is a chiddush over here. He's the one who is making the chiddush. And he's the one who is. So I'm sure the Talmidim of Reb Shlomo Zalman and all the close. The Talmidim of Shlomo Zalman. Now, what do you think? They should stick to the Psak of Shlomo Zalman, but otherwise, I think, unless you are closely associated with that Beis Medrash, I think one should probably stick. I don't know.
It says in number 59, it talks about the comparable cases if Chorus Lamb of Tefillin come off.
Yeah, so Mishnebura himself addresses that question
of
Tefillin.
Is that coming later on?
Yeah. Mishnebura discusses about Tefillin.
He wouldn't make a brothel again.
Yeah.
Which seems even more counterintuitive.
Yeah, so with regards to tefillin, the Mishnebura says
the mitzvah is asked that you have to do regardless whether you have four corn and gavon or not. It's chiyuv incumbent upon you, and you wouldn't. It's almost like more of a chiyuv than the talus, but you definitely the bracha that falls off. It's almost like the.
So you're saying that
counterintuitive. It seems it shouldn't be more machmir than it should be more machmir than talus.
Yeah, but what would be the comparable case with tefillin? Because tefillin can't come off. Yeah, if they come off, but it is, well, the 59 case is talking about if they come, if they get off the right, they're still on you, but they're coming off the right place, wrong position. So that's a slightly different case, perhaps. Yeah.
We're saying
no, but sometimes with the tefillin,
we don't want it to fall off.
The tefillin, the talus, correct.
We have to make a new bracha.
Correct.
So, while if the shliach tzibur is saying say brachas, we have negative intention that we shouldn't be.
You're saying what case, for instance, are you talking about? Yeah, the biggest
shaka.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why would it work there?
Do you have opposite cut?
It's going to fall off, but I don't want it to fall off. So let it be like.
The idea why big is a shacha, the chazan can say the brachas and you're not oitzi with that, is because first of all, his intention is not to be moitzi you. Point number one.
Could be.
No, generally, the default position is not moitzi you. Secondly, and most importantly, is that by saying Baruch Hu Uvoruch Shemoi, you're making a statement. And the statement is, thank you so much for your bracha, I want you, I want your amen, I want that bracha to say amen, but I don't want to be oitzi. I want to make my own, thank you very much.
Okay, so kiddush, something else.
Yes.
Why have negative attention?
You can limit the bracha. You can always limit the bracha. But over here, it's different because we're not limiting the bracha. You want to extend the bracha. And you want to extend the bracha. That even if it falls off, you want the bracha to continue, to be on. So who says that you can continue bracha once physically it's not on you?
Because I don't want it to fall off.
Yeah, no, you don't want it. But the fact is that it did. Gravity worked against you.
But let it be comparable to like I took it off.
Yes, but if you're taking it off, then you can have positive intention, exactly what you're referring to. I'm taking it off, but I want you back. It's a temporary closure. No, it's temporary taking off. I'll have you back soon. So there, you can extend your bracha. You can make it that when I'm going to put the talus back on, I don't make a new bracha because I'm caught with the earlier bracha. However, over here, you never had that intention when it came off. So you cut the strings. By the reality of the talus coming off, as opposed to by your intention. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. So, to summarize, we saw this interesting Shulchan Aruch about a falling talus. And we're learning that if it's come off completely, then you make another bracha, according to Shulchan Aruch. And he says that it's not comparable to the case that you took it off, because there you had intention to bring it back on. There was no intention, it just came off. So we learned that if it's come off completely, nothing. That's it. You've lost your bracha. You have to make another bracha. We need to put it back on. We mentioned Abshalom Islamans. Interesting psak. We also spoke about the fact that if it's not completely come off, then you can save the day. You can save the day. Similarly, we learned if it comes off in the middle of Shemona Esrei and somebody's helpful enough to put it on you, you make another bracha later on. You just mashma shpetzitzis. You touch the tzitzis a bit, and you make a bracha then. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. That's it for this evening. I wish you.
The following is an edition from Rabbi Patzkus with a modification of the earlier parts of the share.
I want to correct what I said earlier in terms of the question if a person has to make another ituf if the talus comes off when he makes another bracha, does he make a full ituf? We mentioned earlier that he does. Thinking about it, I think this is incorrect because just like the Mishnah Berurah says, that all you need to do is yimashmash betzitzis and veyevorech. So probably in this case also the halach will be, all you need to do is to be mashmash betzitzis and make another bracha then. That seems to be the correct halacha. I don't fully understand why this is so, but we've learned earlier that mashmash betzitzis is sufficient, so this will be probably true in this case as well. So no wrapping up required if the talus falls off.